About 800,000 young immigrants are still looking to Congress for clues to their future. Remember back in September, President Trump said he was ending the Obama-era program known as DACA, which gives young people brought to this country within a certain time frame permission to live and work here. This month, a group of House Republicans said they're ready to pass a law that would allow them to stay. But as Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd reports, a permanent solution from Congress would do something else. It would protect investments worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Investments like this one in the Logan Square neighborhood of Chicago.
It's my dad, Manito.
Hi.
Hello. Mucho gusto.
28-year-old community organizer Laura Mendoza is at home in the three-bedroom house where she lives with her parents.
And then we have, like, the kitchen, which is a little bit smaller. My dad just cooked. He made some egg with, like, really spicy sauce, if you can smell it.
I can. Yeah, it smells good.
It smells really spicy.
So, three bedrooms, how many square feet here?
Ooh, that is a good question that I don't know.
You don't know how many square feet are in your house?
No, absolutely not. I always have to look that up whenever we've had any work kind of done.
It doesn't matter because you have enough space.
Yeah, oh yeah, more than enough.
The house is modest, but it's hers. Laura and her older brother, Christian, bought it 2 years ago for about $400,000. There's a small desk in one corner of the living room.
That's kind of where I work. I have a little bit, half of like an ofrenda still up from Dia de los Muertos.
A tribute to our ancestors back in Mexico.
So it's just like a little altar. We still have a little bit of pan de muertos, which is a traditional bread that you eat during Day of the Dead. I really enjoy it considering that I last saw my grandparents when I was like 6, 7 years old. That's when we came. So it's just like kind of good to revisit all those memories.
Laura and Christian have come a long way from the Arizona border, where they crossed into this country illegally with their mother in the 1990s. They reunited with their father, who had already crossed and was working in Chicago. The siblings are just two of an estimated 123,000 so-called dreamers who've bought their own home since DACA began 5 years ago. Christian is 30 and a dietitian. He's been saving for this place since high school.
I didn't really have any responsibilities back then. I wasn't paying for any food or rent or anything like that. So I was able to put away some money, and it was for the purpose of buying a house.
You were working towards the epitome of the American dream at that point. And did you even have DACA at that point? I mean, that was before the program started.
That was way before. I mean, I was, like I said, however old you are in high school, 15, 14.
Did your status at that time ever make you think that you wouldn't be able to buy a house?
No, never. I think, as a child and teenager even then, you don't really understand what that means, a status. I didn't really understand what a status was. I just knew we were here illegally, but I didn't understand what it all meant, if we were going to have limitations or anything like that. I think it's when you start getting older that you start to realize the limitations that come with it and, the kind of hurdles that you have to jump to get to where you want to be.
Did getting DACA make it easier for you?
Absolutely. I mean, it made it 100 times easier.
Easier because he had permission to work and permission to drive, which means he could get a better job and earn enough money to make the $20,000 down payment. Still, Laura Mendoza says the bank was skeptical, even though they were upfront with their DACA status.
I think now I realize that they really didn't understand what the status was and like what it really meant. So we actually went through one lender. We got pre-qualified. As we were getting closer to the closing date, things with our status kind of starting resurfacing. So the lender was asking more about our status. And that's when they told us we actually don't lend to people at DACA.
Did they tell you why? I mean, did they say, look, we're not going to give you a loan for a term of 30 years if we don't even know if you're going to be in the country in the next 2 years. I mean, did they tell you why?
No, they didn't use those as specific words. I think they just, like my sister said, they were unaware of what DACA meant. And they just said that they needed somebody who was a legal resident in order for them to give us the loan.
Now, there are plenty of banks that do make loans to dreamers, but the ones I asked for an interview said no. They didn't want to get involved with the politics of immigration. A spokesperson for U.S. Bank told me their underwriters require a visa or a green card to get a loan. But across town, I did meet the person who helped the Mendozas line up financing.
I'm Kristen Kamara. I am the Vice President of Financial Wellness for the Resurrection Project, and we're here in the Pilsen community of Chicago.
Illinois is home to the third largest dreamer population in the country, and the culture of immigrants is on full display in Pilsen.
It's one of the most vibrant Mexican communities in Chicago, and I think continues to be a place of Mexican culture.
And you can see it on the streets, right? I mean, there's like little bodegas and there's, you know, Mexican restaurants.
Yeah,
sort of
no, it's great. 18th Street is the main thoroughfare, and it is filled with, Mexican restaurants and little shops.
And you've put a lot of immigrant families into housing in this very neighborhood over the years.
Absolutely. Every year we help between 100 and 200 families buy a home across the city of Chicago in immigrant communities in the Southwest Side.
All right, well, I want to talk about that, but it's November in Chicago, so let's go inside. When we're out of the cold, Kamara tells me it can be difficult at first for some of her clients to qualify.
You know, I see a lot of young people with DACA who just aren't necessarily learning about banking and saving and debt from their parents, and so they have to learn that somewhere else.
So they come here, and Kamara says demand for the group's housing counselors is still strong despite DACA's uncertain future.
I was checking in with some of my staff earlier today, and they're saying that they're not seeing a difference in the interest of people stepping forward and saying, I want to buy a home. We have a continued steady pipeline of people with DACA who are in home purchase counseling, so kind of fixing their credit and saving. We have people who are looking for a home right now with a realtor, and we have recent closings as recently as the last week or two of new DACA homeowners. So I don't know. I think we're seeing people continue to say, I'm here in the States and I want to put down my roots.
Well, that's good. But are you telling your clients at all to prepare? Are you telling them, look, if you have to leave this house, you got to figure out what to do with it?
Yes. No, that's absolutely right. We're doing that throughout this entire course of the year. We're telling people that, yes, they should be making a plan. In the case that they are detained or deported, it is important to take complete inventory of your financial profile and have a plan in case something were to happen.
And Laura Mendoza is helping spread that message. She started working at the Resurrection Project after she bought her house. And back in her living room, I learned there's more than just a mortgage on the line.
Hey, Tom. Coming in.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Are you Tom?
Yes.
The Mendoza's tenant, Tom Rogus, came by to say hello after work. He and his wife rent the unit upstairs.
We moved in 19 months. I counted it the other day. 19 months ago.
So you've got to know the place, and you've probably got to know these guys, it seems like, a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you know they were DACA recipients?
I did not. No. I knew that they were Mexican from our conversation and from my excellent but difficult conversations with Mr. and Mrs. Mendoza.
And that means even for an American citizen, the future of DACA suddenly hits close to home. As for Christian, he says losing it would unravel everything his family has worked for.
Without the job, I would be struggling to pay the mortgage. It's not like we have millions of dollars in the bank. Like, I'm paying mortgage month by month. And
what's that payment?
It is almost $3,000.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the last resort for you would be selling the house.
Yeah, I would probably think the last resort would be to try to sell the house.
One question I do have is, by definition, DACA is temporary. I mean, you have to renew it every 2 years. What would you say to somebody who said, well, why did you get yourself wrapped up in a mortgage if you knew the program was temporary in the first place?
It's the same thing. Like, I'm willing to take a risk, right? Because the reward is so much greater than not taking the risk. I mean, I could have not bought the house, but we would still be renting and, you know, concerned about that situation. And I'd rather have, you know, that control in my hands, if only for a little bit, right? Like, these 2 years, I mean, this has been my parents' home, and I'm not concerned that somebody's going to kick them out. That reward is worth taking the risk.
The risk will crystallize if Congress fails to act. The Mendoza's permission to work expires in 2019, and their options are running out. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd, reporting from Chicago.